WBRI, 1500 in Indianapolis.
The Martin Bender Band Share Show.
I am going deep, deep into a trance. I'm receiving a revelation. I must have it in darkness and quiet. Light a candle. It's coming to me now.
I got a prophecy. Oh, I got a prophecy about you. What? Here's my prophecy. The Lord has given me a word for you, brother.
Speak it, brother.
And the word is this. The more you give to this offering plate, more God's going to bless you. You need to dream bigger, brother.
That moves me to give. That moves me to give. How much do you want? I want to give to the Lord. Name your price, Lord. There are people. We joke. However.
It's not a joke. It's no. Everything we just said is true.
Everything we just said is true.
And suckers are falling for that every day. It shows you how stupid mankind is.
Yeah, and there are those who... I see books at Walmart and different places about people who have supposedly gone to hell, and they come back and they have these visions and they have these revelations. And men of old who were inspired by God were not inspired in this soulish manner.
But they didn't get enough. God didn't give us enough in his book. We need these other guys.
That's the other thing. It's like we need revelations on top of revelation. People ask me about these lost books of the Bible, the book of Judas, the book of Thomas, the Gospel of Thomas. Yeah. You hear this stuff? It's like what you've already imbibed of and understood the whole of Scripture, and now you need more. You haven't grasped, you're totally saturated and bored with the 66 books we have.
I'd rather sit down and listen to Hugh Hefner's philosophy than that stuff.
I'd rather sit down and look at his publications.
You could probably get more out of it.
Yeah, you would.
I don't know.
I just don't know.
We say that, in jest only to magnify the...
greatness of God.
Just the stupidity of what passes for God's truth.
Oh, yeah, that too.
You know, and as you pointed out, we're always afraid of hurting people's feelings. I mean, these are people who say they get direct revelation from God and believe that God tortures people for eternity, so I don't think we can hurt their feelings.
That's right, and the Apostle Paul said that he completed the Word of God. That's an important phrase to look into.
Colossians 1:25. Chapter 1, verses 24 to 29. Mm-hmm. Read it.
Paul completed the Word of God. But
read it,
I got
read
a question
it.
For you.
Yes.
How were these men inspired? I mean, John... let's take him to start with, on the island of Patmos. He is actually seeing things that are going to occur. I mean, no, I don't even think that's correct to say that. He saw them as they were occurring.
Yeah, the Lord actually appeared to John.
Yeah, and he showed him these things that are going to be, you know, you're going to be reading about in your newspapers and seeing on CNN. John actually saw them.
Yep.
Where I think his eyes were wide open. I don't think he was on smoking opium or funny. I don't think it was
he
was reeling or out of his mind. Nobody in Scripture is ever out of their minds.
No, they wrote things. They weren't under any kind of ecstasy or trance. And for a perfect instance, one of the high priests, Caiaphas, prophesied.
Yeah,
that it would be better for Christ to die than the whole nation perish.
And he was just
and John
there.
Said he didn't say that of himself. Well, Caiaphas didn't know that. From as far as he's concerned, he thought that up on his own. But that became God's truth there. And so this is this is why I am against all these stupid pictures. Pictures of Jesus and the saints. They all have these halos over their heads. They were normal looking folks. If Christ came today and he was let's say he went to Obama's inauguration with all those millions of people there. You wouldn't be able to tell him out of the crowd.
No.
Matter of fact, Obama still would have been the key figure there. The Lord Jesus didn't glow in the dark.
No.
Neither did the Apostle Paul. And they were normal men. They have feelings. They bled. They got hungry. They got angry when they lost their keys to their camel. And all the rest of it, they were normal people. So when it says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, it's referring to the words themselves. Luke one day decided, he sat around and said, you know, I've read all these accounts of the Lord, life of the Lord. there were some in circulation, obviously, that didn't make it into the God-inspired scriptures. But Luke said it seemed good to me also that since I'm accurately acquainted with everything, I'm going to write this too.
Is that an actual quote?
It
seems
Luke
to
chapter
me.
One. Luke chapter 1. It's a very human desire.
That's cool. I mean, like it seems to, it seems to me you can't do this today. This was a special time in God's program where His thought, God's thoughts and God's counsels were not revealed yet, and so it pleased Him to reveal it to regular human beings. He could have shouted it from the mountaintops, and one time He did write it on the wall at Belshazzar's feast. His finger traced. That would have been exciting.
Yeah,
there's scripture for you.
There's a way. Here's listen to Luke. It says, since in fact even many take in hand to compose a narrative concerning the matters which we of which we are fully assured among ourselves, according as those who from the beginning coming to be eyewitnesses and deputies of the word give them over to us, it seems good to me also, having fully followed all accurately from the very first, to write to you consecutively, most mighty Theophilus, that you may be recognizing the certainty of the words concerning which you were instructed. That was a very human desire.
Mm-hmm. And Paul, too. I mean, whenever Paul wrote something, he was always incensed or excited.
Yeah,
and
2 Corinthians, he sat down and he wrote, I wrote this to you, and I was sorry I wrote it at first, you know, and I almost didn't want to write it, but I'm glad I wrote it because it made you sorry, blah, blah. You know, remember that passage?
Mm-hmm.
And here's this Paul talking about scriptures like he says, sorry he wrote it.
Yeah, and he's most of his writings, like his epic letter to the Romans, he's dictating to a scribe, Tertius, what was his personal secretary.
Amanuensis.
I prefer personal secretary.
I'll take secretary, yeah.
Yeah,
sure.
So Paul's pacing back and forth, dictating the book of Romans, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
And it's just thoughts are coming to him. Okay, and I think that he knew he was inspired when he was writing a book like Romans. But I think he's pacing back and forth. I think there's a lamp sitting there. I think Tertius has a pen, a quill of some kind. He has an ink. He's got a papyrus, and it's stretched out, and it's being held by a rock on the front or whatever. There's a cup of coffee there, and Paul says, I need you to come over here at 6 o'clock. I'm getting my thoughts together.
Did
about...
Did he email him?
Well, he faxed it in those days.
Okay.
In those days, he faxed it to him. Sorry. Get over here at 6 o'clock. He had the coffee ready. Tertius is sitting there unrolling his scroll. He says, "Okay, go, Paul, go." And Paul just begins. Paul, an apostle of Christ, and it starts. Now he's not in an ecstasy.
No.
He's not glowing in the dark.
He's in control.
He's in control. He's not rolling around.
He's not going
into convulsions.
He's not
screaming. He's not 3 feet off the ground.
He's not
floating or levitating.
He's not sweating.
No, there's no bit of sweat unless it was in August or
in
something.
August.
Whatever.
Yeah,
yeah,
right,
in August.
Right.
He could possibly be sweating unless the windows were open and the breeze
yeah.
was blowing in. But he probably said, paused in between and said, Tertius, would you mind opening that drape? And Tertius wouldn't write that down because that would be stupid. Would you open that drape?
Yeah.
So he goes over, opens the drape, comes back, and Paul continues.
Do you
and
think,
it's amazing
do you
the
think
way
Paul,
this happened.
Do you think Paul, when he wrote Romans, he said, Paul, a servant of a Jesus of Christ.
Paul, a servant
a
of Jesus.
To be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God.
Somehow,
sorry,
I don't think
I
so.
I was overcome.
I had to turn, man, I think Duke was up there turning down your microphone. You just like blew out the system.
Oh, I did? Sorry.
No, sorry, but that was all right because that's exactly what they do. And people picture Paul doing that,
yeah.
You know, and that's, you see, you start talking like that. You talk normal when you get up on the microphone as a Baptist. You start talking normal because the Holy Spirit's not on you yet. And then you get warmed up, and then you start to get into the flow. And now the Spirit of God is starting, and God is coming.
Yeah, right.
And then the Spirit of God is upon me, and the anointing is now here. And because I'm talking like this, it means that God has come to me. That's ridiculous. What is that?
You
is
scared
that
the living daylights out of me.
I can tell by the look on
you
your face.
You scared me.
I could tell.
I think I just messed my trousers.
But I think you were impressed because I thought if that guy must have the word of God. Put your hand on the hand of the man of God. Put your hand on the television screen. And if you touch my hand, you will be healed of your desire to keep your money to yourself. And you will give it to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, no, none of this was going on. It was very normal. None of this stuff you see at Pentecostal churches ever happened. Nobody lost control.
Or a Baptist
even
church.
When they were, Yeah, you keep bringing up the even when they were speaking in languages.
I just want to give everyone their due. That's
yeah, we're equal opportunity right. offenders.
That's right.
Even when they were speaking in languages, it was under control.
Exactly.
And Paul's big issue was when it wasn't in control, when people
languages,
were speaking
you
out
mean
of turn.
Tongues.
Tongues, yes. Right. When people were speaking out of turn, he said, look, you do this then, now you do this.
Isn't it funny?
Nobody's barking like dogs.
No,
what is, I don't understand
like
what's going on there. No. At Pentecostal churches, they tell me that people bark, they laugh uncontrollably, right? They laugh uncontrollably. When does this happen?
Well,
in
when
the Scripture,
they,
never.
Well, it happens when Tertius took the pen,
yes,
and he tickled Paul's feet with the feather
yeah,
side.
That's
when Paul started laughing.
You're right.
Can you imagine Tertius doing that?
I
Paul,
can.
You know, Paul turns. Paul sits down, take a break, and Tertius walks over, and they play a practical joke. One sits on Paul, they'll hold him down, and Tertius grabs his foot, tickles his foot. Right?
I can
That'd
see
be
it
awesome.
Happening.
Awesome.
Why wouldn't it happen?
It couldn't because they were holy men of God, they sat there with their fingers crossed, just so. And they sat in the correct position just so.
Yes.
And they were always addressed. Paul was never called Paul.
No.
He must be called Pastor Paul.
Pastor Paul.
He would never have it any other way. No one ever called him Brother Saul or Paul.
And I have examined the stained glass art in many churches around the world, in the finest Catholic institutions. And not once have I seen a stained glass depiction of Tertius tickling Paul's feet with the quill. And if you know of a church where this scene is depicted, I would like to see it because would be an inspired
scene.
That'd
be cool.
That would be really cool.
By the way, stained glass makes me sick.
Why do you have to make such radical statements?
I hate stained glass.
You
do? It reminds me of death. Church buildings remind me of death, not life. I'm sorry. They do.
But the Catholics do have ceremony down pat. I found out this when my mom died and she had a Catholic mass.
Yeah.
And I went to the same church. This was weird. I went to the same church I was at when I was a kid. And there I was standing on the altar where I used to look up there at those priests with reverential awe. And here I was, Martin Zender, standing on the altar. I was giving my mom's eulogy. And I'm telling you, though, I had not been back in that church in 20 years. Those people have ceremony down pat.
Mm-hmm.
The priest came down, and my mom's casket was sitting there, and they did this chant, and they went around and sprinkled it, and I got tears. I mean, this is my mom's funeral,
it's obviously soul-ish.
I moved, but
appeals to the senses.
But it works.
I mean, it is
soul, but I could see the attraction
absolutely.
Of the ceremony because, I mean, I was crying anyway. Because when they repeated this and they sprinkled this thing and went around the casket, I just lost it.
Yeah.
Those people
they
have
appeal to you with
that.
The same methods as Hollywood and pornographers do.
Oh my gosh!
To the
Dan.
Senses. I'm serious.
Oh,
I mean, face facts. Face facts.
I'll try to go ahead.
Face the facts.
I'm trying.
It's not a draw to truth. It's a draw to something.
Wow.
It's a draw to a something that appeals to you. Wake up. Truth is calling. Tomorrow we got to get to the exact words of Scripture.
The exact words of Scripture. What is today?
Today
is Thursday.
Thursday.
Oh my gosh. Tomorrow's Friday.
If you want to go to Martin Zender's site, you can hear these programs for free
at
martinzender.com.
You're a very insightful person to go to my site. And Dan Sheridan is at paulsevangel.com.
That's right.
By the grace of God, we'll be back here tomorrow, and so will you.